blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 150, stanzas 1 through 4. O God, give thou ear to my plea, and hide not thyself from my cry. O hearken, and answer thou me, as restless and weary I sigh. 1 through 4 of Psalter 150. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Nehemiah chapter 13. Nehemiah chapter 13. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 13. On that day, they read in the book of Moses in the audience of the people, and therein was found written that the Ammonite and the Moabite should not come into the congregation of God forever, because they met not the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them, that he should curse them. Howbeit, our God turned the curse into a blessing. And now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. And before this, Eliashib the priest, having the oversight of the chamber of the house of our God, was allied unto Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a great chamber, where aforetime they laid the meat offerings, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithes of the corn, the new wine, and the oil, which was commanded to be given to the Levites and the singers and the porters and the offerings of the priests. But in all this time was not I at Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, came I unto the king, and after certain days obtained I leave of the king. And I came to Jerusalem and understood of the evil that Eliashib did for Tobiah in preparing him a chamber in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me sore. Therefore I cast forth all the household stuff of Tobiah out of the chamber. Then I commanded, and they cleansed the chambers, and thither brought I again the vessels of the house of God with the meat offering and the frankincense. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries. And I made treasurers over the treasuries, Shelemiah the priest, and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Padiah, and next to them was Hanan the son of Zachar, the son of Mattaniah, for they were counted faithful, and their office was to distribute unto their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for the offices thereof. In those days saw I in Judah as some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, What evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus? And did not our God bring all this evil upon us and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel by profaning the Sabbath. And it came to pass that when the gates of Jerusalem began to be dark before the Sabbath, I commanded that the gates should be shut and charged that they should not be opened till after the Sabbath. And some of my servants set I at the gates, that there should no burden be brought in on the Sabbath day. So the merchants and sellers of all kind of ware lodged without Jerusalem once or twice. Then I testified against them and said unto them, Why lodge ye about the wall? If ye do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time forth came they no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should come and keep the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of thy mercy. In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Shall we then hearken unto you and do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law to Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-knowing God, we may gather on this thy holy day, that day and that institution which we are called to consider in this hour, according to that method of instruction that thou hast given unto us from the hand of our forefathers, according to thy commandments, which Sabbath after Sabbath may be read among us. And according to that also which we may read time and again in thy holy word, as we have read together in these moments, wherein the sanctity of thy day is set forth, wilt thou give us also that reverence that is necessary on thy holy day, that we may be given to see something of the preciousness thereof, and the great gift that thou givest to us in it, and that our hearts may be drawn to thyself, that thy day may become holy also unto us, that it may become a day of delight, a day which our hearts do desire, even as greater than the other days of the week, that which we may consider and do upon thy holy day may be activities which are precious unto us, and that we may hold in high esteem thy day and thy name and thy institutions and all thy worship. Then it is necessary that grace be given unto us and unto our children. Lord, that thou thyself would work it when it does not come from our side, but to instruct us therein by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and that our hearts may be drawn in that the commandment wherein thou commandest us to seek after thee may be also the desire that is living within our hearts. For when we will be turned by thee, then we shall run after thee, and then thy commandment shall not become a burden, but it shall be the delight of our hearts. Wilt thou remember each and every one of us in such a way, young and old, to gather, give it in the hearts of our dear children in the days of their youth, that when they also may come to thy house, when they may come up for catechism classes, when they may come to Bible classes within the school, and when they may be under the instruction of their parents in the reading and the explaining of thy holy word in the home, that holy reverence also may be given unto them, and that their hearts may stand in awe of thee, even in the days of their youth, that they may love thee with all their heart and all their might and all their strength, to do instruct us as parents how to so lead and teach our children that the reverence for the holy things may be evident in the life and in the heart of each and every one of us, but that thy blessing may also rest upon it, that it may be evident in that great day of days, that thy Sabbath and all thy institutions, that they have been effectual to the conversion of sinners and to the instruction of thy church. Oh, that it may be evident on that great day of days that the preaching of thy word has borne fruit to the great glory and to the honor of thy holy name. Do look upon those that have not these blessings. They are far from us. They are near to us. They are here in our own land. Oh, that thou may bring thy word also unto them, and that thou may give them also this great privilege, that they may come to know the true and the living God, and that all that darkness that is due to our deep fall, may be taken away, and that the light of heaven may shine unto them through thy word. Keep these blessings from testifying against us with our children, having known the way and never walking therein, to be beaten one day with double stripes, our responsibility increasing day by day and Sabbath by Sabbath. Oh, that thou may bind these matters in truth upon our hearts. Send yet forth more laborers into thy vineyard, who may go forth upon the Sabbath days in the preaching of thy word, and that school of our denomination may also be able to begin again. Provide men of thy own choosing, converted and called and thrust forth by thee. Lord, thou knowest what an impossibility from the side of men, but thou art he that is faithful, who does call, and thou givest time after time everything that is necessary as thou hast promised. And so it will be experienced by each and every one, despite all the impossibility from the side of men. Oh, thrust them forth then, and wilt thou do it that thy kingdom may come also amongst us and amongst the other nations of this world. Be with the mission fields. Wilt thou give servants also and office bearers in those places? Bring thy word to those that are in distress, and help also in the natural needs of those who have experienced the earthquakes and the floods and the famines that are in this world. Wilt thou supply out of all thy fullness? Wilt thou go before all those that rule and reign over us? Thou commandest us to lay them before thee. From our side, then it seems so often so impossible that anything could turn about once again. But we have heard in this morning that thy power, that is an infinite power, that it is without bounds and without limits. And so it is also for those whose heart is turned away from thee. Thou art able to bring them again, and we try to lay them before thee, if it could please thee, that thou may turn us again as nations back unto thy word and to thy testimonies. Wilt thou look upon our school, the principals, the teachers, the school board, and all that is necessary for them, for thou knowest everything, that thou may supply the strength and the wisdom and the courage to do all things that are necessary according to thy will. Give our teachers the fear of thy name, and grant it also in great measure unto our children. Be with us in this afternoon hour. Once more we try to bring thy word. Be thou on our right and on our left hand to supply the unction of thy Holy Spirit, that may go forth to the pricking of hearts and to the breaking down of strongholds and to the upbuilding upon that solid rock, to the glory and to the honor of thy great and holy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 349, the first three stanzas. My heart was glad to hear the welcome sound, the call to seek Jehovah's house of prayer. Our feet are standing here on holy ground. Within thy gates, thou city, grand and fair. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 349, 1, 2, and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Thus, congregation, we read that the Lord rested. What does that mean? Because the Lord has no need of rest. As you and I, who will become tired in our labors. But it means that the Lord ceased, we read, from his labors, that he stopped his work. Even before the fall, man was commanded to labor, thus labor that is not a punishment. And that is something which was man's delight. He was called to dress and to keep the garden. But before the fall, there were no burdens in the laboring of man. There was no sweat of his face to labor in. Even so, we can read that without such drudgery in his labor, the Lord has sanctified a day wherein he calls man to cease from his labors, that he may take a rest. To sanctify means to set apart. It has to do with the word holy, a special day set apart for himself. That is, for himself, that he may take pleasure in his creation. That is, for himself, not only, but also for his creation, that they may take pleasure in him, that they may worship him. Thus, the Sabbath day, that is not an institution that is made necessary by the fall, but it is an institution that has existed before the fall. And before the fall, it was a delight. And after the fall, it has become a burden. How is that, children, young people? Is that also our burden? Because when the Lord gives regeneration, then it becomes again our delight. And we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider something of the Sabbath day from the fourth commandment and our Lord's day 38. So first, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Lord's Day 38, question 103. What doth God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God, to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me. and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So for our Lord's Day, the Sabbath day, first, the Sabbath given. Second, the Sabbath commanded. Third, the Sabbath sanctified. The Sabbath day, first, the Sabbath given. Second, the Sabbath commanded. And third, the Sabbath sanctified. We have heard that the Sabbath that is given by the Lord before the fall, an institution of the Lord, it is what belongs unto the moral law. That is the law that was written in the heart of our father Adam in his creation. Because it belongs to that moral law, it is the obligation of all mankind. Every man in this world, being a creature of God, even though that from his own side he will not confess this. However, there were also many other Sabbaths that were given unto the children of Israel as a nation. These Sabbaths were not given unto them in the state of their innocency. They were not given unto them before the fall, but they were given unto them after the fall. And they were Sabbaths that were given unto the children of Israel, which pointed unto the work of redemption. Thus, after the fall and the institution of the children of Israel as a nation, the Lord has given what we may read in God's word as the Sabbatic cycle, or the cycle of sevens. Seven being a holy number, a unit of time that is representative of the divine fullness. Thus, a cycle of sevens. In the first place, the children of Israel were given what is called the Feast of Trumpets. And the Feast of Trumpets, that was to be commemorated on the seventh month, that is in the month Tishri, that is our September, October. It was actually the beginning of the new year of their agricultural cycle. The sacrifices were increased over those of the new moon, and the trumpets were blown in this day. That is the day that is called by the Jewish nation yet as Rosh Hashanah. Thus we have in the seventh month the Feast of Trumpets. Next we have in that cycle the sabbatical year. That is, every seventh year there was to be a Sabbath of rest, a complete rest for the whole land for 1 year. It is called the year of release, a year when all Hebrew debts were remitted and all Hebrew slaves were set free. It was during the Feast of Tabernacles on this year that the law was to be read as a reminder to the children of Israel that their Sabbath ought to be spent in the meditation of the holy law of the Lord. The sabbatic year. Sabbatic year has probably fell into disuse for some time. The rabbis held that the 7 years of captivity of the children of Israel was because the 70 years was because that they had not allowed their land, that rest that the Lord had commanded. We read in 2 Chronicles to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. Thus it seems that Israel, in their quest for the riches of this world, that they have not obeyed the commandment of the Lord. But after the return of the children of Israel from their captivity, then this was very strictly observed by them. Thus we have the 7th month. We have the every 7th year, the sabbatic year. Finally, we have what is called the year of Jubilee. Every 7 Sabbaths of years. Thus, 7 times 7 years, or 49 years. And then on the 50th year is the year of Jubilee. That was a hallowed year, actually 2 years in a row, because the 49th year, and then immediately following was the 50th year. And then every man would return to his own possession. He would return to his own family. It was called the year of liberty. Thus, not only the slaves were to be released, but also every property was to be returned unto its original owner, so that the inheritance of the children of Israel would not be lost. All of these added Sabbaths, they had a special purpose. They were not as the Sabbath day as was commanded in the moral law, but they have pointed to the redemption of the children of Israel. Thus, these Sabbaths, they are given as pointing to that mediator who was to come. And it was within these Sabbaths that there was an injunction from the Lord that there may be consideration of that redemption that was to come, for that it may be to the strengthening of that true saving faith. And therefore, when the Lord Jesus appeared on the earth, then all of these added Sabbaths, and they have also come to an end. But that was not true, of course, of the Sabbath day. Because that Sabbath day, that was not founded for the purpose of the redemption, but it was grounded already in the creation. It is true that by the redemption of God's church, that there was a change made in that Sabbath. No longer was that Sabbath to be celebrated upon the 7th day, when the children of Israel may look forward in the Old Testament to that rest that was to come after the Lord Jesus had come, they may now look back upon this. But the Sabbath day itself, that was the law of creation. And therefore, the Christian Sabbath that has come in the place of the Jewish Sabbath after the coming of the Messiah. It is very natural that that first day of the week would be established among the Christians as their Sabbath day. Why? Well, it is very natural for us, as it was natural for them, that a day would be sanctified when there is something very notable. It is also when our day is taking place, then this day is set aside as a day of remembrance. Thus, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, being the most notable event and being a very important event lying at the foundation of the salvation of God's church, having taken place on that first day of the week, this became the practice of the church of God. It is on the resurrection day that the Lord Jesus has first entered into his rest, that is, with both soul and with body. That was not in his incarnation. That was not in his passion. That was not actually in his ascension, but it was in his resurrection from the dead. The Father, when he has instituted the Sabbath day, did not institute that Sabbath day until that he had finished all of his work of creation. And thus we see it also concerning the Son, that Christian Sabbath that was instituted after and that all the work of the Lord Jesus for the redemption of his church had come to an end. And thus we read how that the apostles, they are meeting on that first day of the week. In Acts 20, verse 7, we read, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them," and then also in very many other places. We read that the Lord Jesus, he is sanctifying that day by his own appearances unto his disciples, and when they are gathered together in this first week, and thus it has continued from that time until this. But how? We have in our second thought the Sabbath commended, because we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And thus our fathers speak about what this means. First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained. Thus our fathers speak about the ordinances that Christ has instituted for the sake of his church. And that has in a very special way to do with the Sabbath day, because it is on the Sabbath day that God's word is to be preached in a special way, and also that the sacraments are to be administered. And it is for this purpose that our fathers are speaking about the schools. That is, the schools for the training of the students for the ministry, so that the preaching of God's word may continue in this world. That was the same also in the Old Testament. We read about the schools of the prophets. Thus, to go without training as a minister, that must always remain not the rule, but the exception. That the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God. The word Sabbath, that means holy. And there are holy things. We read that in God's word. There are holy places. But what is the Sabbath? The Sabbath the Lord sets apart as a holy time. The whole day, a time, a period of time which is dedicated unto himself. And in that respect, that holiness of the Sabbath day is, as we can read in God's word, both a day of rest and a day of diligent activity. It is, in the first place, a day of rest. That is clear, as there are many things that the Lord commands us to refrain from doing on this day, as he says, in it thou shalt do no manner of work. Jews had their ideas about what this meant, that they were not to do any manner of work, and they have even accused the Lord Jesus so very many times that he has desecrated the Sabbath day. But the Lord Jesus has instructed them in its meaning, and that was not that rubbing a little corn in your hand that I may eat it immediately is a desecration of that holy day. No, what is forbidden, it is servile work. That is, work in the fields, work in the factories, work in the offices. Not that work that is necessary for our daily living, that we may make our meals, etc. Not that work that is necessary to take care of those who are sick, the works of mercy, the ill and the old. Not also those works that are necessary to maintain the work that we are called to do during the week, as if on the Sabbath day we are to allow all of our labors to go unmaintained. No, the Lord on the Sabbath did not create, but he has indeed maintained that work that he has done and continues to maintain it every Sabbath day that he has created on those 6 days. But the Lord has forbidden work that man may gain, that man may profit from all his labors as he does upon those 6 days, that he may earn his living, that he may buy, that he may sell, that he may sow, that he may reap. Thus, in a very special way, the Lord has set apart that day to be a different day. The children of Israel were not allowed to continue to build the temple on the Sabbath day. And then there are things that ought to be saved for the weekday. There are things that ought to be done on the Saturday as preparation that we have not to do them on the Sabbath day. Sometimes for lack of foresight, they become necessary and they need to be done with a repenting heart. But the Lord, he says clearly in his word, we read it in Isaiah, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, and then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Thus, it is not only just in outward things, but the Lord says to cease from our pleasure, to cease from those thoughts that will go about all of our pleasures in this world. That is to put away our weekly labors, because the Sabbath day that is for contemplation, that is for meditation on our spiritual state. How is it between God and our soul? What do we speak about on the Sabbath day? What do we read on the Sabbath day? Because there is much material, young people, that is in your own homes, that is in our library. There are tapes that may be heard, sermons that may be heard if we have such a desire. Is there a desire for instruction in the things of the Lord? Thus, that is not a day for sleeping. and that we may sleep it away, that we may have rest, that we may begin again upon the Monday. No, but the Sabbath, that is a day of holy activity, that is not only for ministers, for elders, for deacons, but that is also for fathers and mothers and for children. We are called, yes, to cease from our daily labors. Why? That we may give ourselves to another work. That we may give ourselves to another labor. That our hearts may be taken up with these labors. It is not a day, boys and girls, that you should ask your mother or father if you may take your bicycle. It is not a day, young people, that you ought to start up your computer, that you ought to get on the telephone with your friends. No, the Sabbath day, that is a day that the Lord distinctly sets out as a day that ought to be different from every other day that is in the week. That the Lord says Himself that that day that is holy. Then there are things, there are catechism questions. Then we can learn them. Then maybe we will know them a little bit better than some do, parents. It is also perhaps necessary that we are asking our children to see if they know the answers to their catechism questions. And that is not an unprofitable thing to do upon the Sabbath day. That I especially, on the Sabbath day, that is on the day of rest, diligently frequent the house of God. That is, I leave not my place empty in the house of God. That is a place where the Lord Himself says that He will work under the preaching of His word, that He says that He will reveal Himself, a place where we may come to worship, where we may come to pray, where we may come to hear. We must do that, children, you say, every day. That is true. But the Sabbath day, that is a day that is in a special way set aside for this. And is that now not a great mercy? That we do not have to labor 7 days in the week, that the Lord has given us also a Sabbath day, and yet man wants to turn it upside down because man abuses the goodness of the Lord to use it for his vain pleasures and for all his own purposes, which are to him an abomination. How is that in our own life? Diligently frequent the church of God to hear His word, to use the sacraments and publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor. The Lord, in a very special way, gives a charge to those who are in authority with the keeping of His day. In it, thou shalt do no manner of work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Thus, the Lord speaks about a father, and He speaks about those who are over a family, over a household. That is now that unit which is standing at the foundation of our entire society. And we read together about Nehemiah, when he is standing in a position of great responsibility, how that he has taken that responsibility rightly upon his shoulders, and that he has acted accordingly, that he has sent away all of the merchants, and that he has threatened them if they would come back again. Thus, as parents, greatly responsible for our own households, and as consistories that we are also watching over our congregation, and also those in the government of our country,
They have a responsibility concerning the Sabbath day that is a responsibility that is so greatly neglected in our day that we also ought to lay before them, because otherwise we miss the blessing that our fathers are speaking about also in this Lord's Day. But this we want to consider after we sing. Psalter 250, 1, 2, and 5. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to Thee most high accord, to show Thy love with morning light and tell Thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is Thy praise to sing and all our sweetest music bring. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 250.
Thank you.
our last thought, the Sabbath sanctified, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. The Sabbath that is set apart as a day of rest, that is in a temporal way, but we can read how that this has a much greater and a much deeper meaning. In the creation, God has established the covenant of works with Adam. And this covenant was based upon the labors of Adam. That is not his natural, but the spiritual. That is what that tree has represented, that he should keep that whole moral law of God. When this was broken, then his rest has been taken away. What was, children, the punishment, we read it, that in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread. Thus, there was for Adam no rest. But that was not only physically, but also there was no rest within Adam, because the conscience of our father did speak. And maybe young people, children, that we know also what that is, when we have no rest within us because of our sin. After the covenant of works was broken, then the Lord has revealed to man the covenant of grace that was no longer based upon the working of Adam, but it was based on the labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now when those labors were finished, then he has instituted the Christian Sabbath. Why? Not in order that people may begin to labor again, but in order that his people may receive rest. And that the labors which he has performed for his church, that they may be sanctified in the application unto his church. Thus a Sabbath day, in order that the Lord may reveal himself, that the church may receive something of that blessed rest which is contained in the labors, the finished labors of the Son of God, that all the days of this life I cease from my evil works. To cease from sin, that is the desire of the heart of everyone that is truly born again. That is the work of sanctification that is not complete in this life, but there is a small beginning of that work of sanctification in the life of God's children. And thus, to cease from my evil works, that is already the beginning of rest for that church, because it is the holy desire of a people that have been wrought upon by the Spirit of the Lord. And then our Father says something that is so very, very beautiful,
they continue to say, and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me. Thus, it is the experience of that true church, what that rest is, when they may experience what it is for the Spirit of the Lord to work in me, to yield myself. As our fathers say, we have spoken a little in this morning about Jairus, and therefore we will use this for an example. But we see something already of the beginning of this rest in that moment which we have spoken of, that Jairus may consider the Lord Jesus Christ in connection with his dying daughter. Before that moment, there was no rest in the heart of this man. And what was it that drew Jairus that he would go to ask the Lord Jesus Christ? What was it that did determine that choice in him, that he would go to bow himself at the foot of this despised Nazarene? But that rest that he did feel in consideration of the ability and the willingness of Christ concerning his own daughter. Thus we see something of that rest in that act of faith that the Lord gives in the heart of this man, even in the very smallness, in the very beginning, as it were, of this acting of faith. What an increase of this rest, this yielding, is in the heart of Jairus when that enemy, he has come with that message, "Thy daughter is dead." And the Lord Jesus grants to him his promise, that he says to him, "Fear not, only believe, and she shall be made whole." Then there is something of a yielding of himself, that he may rest himself upon the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. What rest is a man able to find in this world as this rest, when it is coming from the mouth of him whose power, whose willingness, whose mercy, whose faithfulness is without bounds and without limits? "And yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me." We see something of that beautiful rest in Mary, whom we have heard of, when she may sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, when she may sit to hear his words, and when she may be given that insight, that understanding of what the Lord Jesus himself declares, that "I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." Thus, when he will minister, then he does labor and he does give rest unto his people. That it is not their work that is for him, but that it is his work that is for them. Then something of this blessed rest that our fathers are speaking of in this Lord's Day, that may be experienced in the heart of this people. What a blessed rest that Eli may receive, that David may receive, when their words were so similar, when they may in all their trouble and in all their tribulation, when they may be given to resign themselves unto the Lord's will, to say, though my children are taken away from me, though the Lord is coming against me in everything, then what a blessed rest to be able to say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good unto him. Oh, we see something of this yielding of myself unto him in these men. We see it in Job. We see it in the thief when he is upon the cross, and when he may justify God in his own condemnation. There is no rest in this world as such a rest, that though I believe and though I expect that the Lord is coming against me, well deserved from my side, and yet to be enabled to resign everything into his hands, that his will may be done and that his name may be glorified, then my soul receives rest. What a rest when the responsibility of a man is taken over by the Lord himself, so that the Lord himself will do for us, will receive all that is on our account upon his own. And that for everything that the Lord has made me responsible, which I experience in my life, is such an impossibility, that this is taken over by this blessed mediator in the way of substitution. Thus a people that may receive a resting place upon the active and the passive obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may be given a little rest from all of their labors, that they may be given a little rest from all of their fears, that all of the objections may be taken out of the way. Oh, what a blessedness when they may receive the rest of the Father, that when the Father does rest in the satisfaction of his only begotten Son, that this people, that the light of the Holy Spirit may shine in a little bit upon the satisfaction of the Father, that they may also be given to rest in that complete mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what rest is there and when the Lord may speak unto the soul of his people, and when in all their guilt, when in all their corruption, when they deserve to be cast away, that the Lord is making and revealing that one-sided covenant, that he says, I cannot expect anything anymore from that people, but from my side, for the glory of my own name, I will call them my people, and they shall call me their God, and that I will say to them, I am married unto you, and that I will speak unto them, that ye are my children. Oh, what rest is there? Our fathers say it is just the beginning, and so it is experienced in this world already. By a true saving faith, it is just the beginning of an eternal rest. For he who has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works, we read, as God did from his congregation. Do we know? Do we know just the smallest part of this rest? Or do we even have a desire, a little desire, that we may be partakers of this rest? By nature, we are of our father, the devil, the Lord Jesus says. And Satan, do you feel it ever, young people? Satan, he gives a man no rest. Our conscience may not rest. No, because there is in us, with all our laughing in this world, with all the enjoyments in this world, there is still in us a certain fearful looking for of judgment and of fiery indignation. That is the way that it remains while we are in this world. And soon, when nothing takes place in our life, then that is going to be fully realized. Because we read in the Word of God that they have no rest day nor night. Or will you not seek then for this rest that our fathers lay out so beautifully in our catechism out of that Word of God? Or will we not seek for that rest for ourselves? Will we not seek for that rest for our children, parents? Naomi, as she said unto her daughter-in-law, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And then there was a going out unto that field of Boaz. Then it is not a rest from all the trouble that will be in this world, because it is through much tribulation that we have to enter into the kingdom of God. And it is not a rest from trials. We heard that in the life of Jairus. No, because he will refine that faith as silver is refined, and he will try it as gold is tried. It is not a rest from the warfare, because indeed, when we are wrought upon, then we only enter into that warfare. Then we become a church militant. But we read in God's Word, there is a rest. There is a rest unto the people of God. Do you believe that, young people? That in all their trials and in all their tribulation, do you believe that there is a rest? Was there a rest? Was there a rest in all the tribulation of Jairus? Oh, blessed faith that the Lord gave unto this man. Peter, he sleeps in the prison. He may rest. Paul and Silas, they may sing in the prison. What does David say? I will both lay me down in sleep and in peace, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. There is a rest. There is a rest beginning already in the heart of the true church of God here below. Oh, may the Lord give to us
to sanctify that holy day, to keep it holy, and that we in that day may seek this rest, that we may be given to know that rest that our fathers are speaking about. That begins with a holy unrest, a holy unrest. And yet the Lord Jesus, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That is that unrest. And he says, I will give you rest. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, blessed day, blessed Sabbath, blessed commandment, blessed rest, and all undeserved because of our sin. But thou still grantest it in our days. O give us to seek it, that it may be that hid treasure in the eyes of each and every one of us, and that we may put aside all that weight that does so easily beset us in this world, that we may run that race as if there is only one that will receive that prize. Wilt thou bring us safely to our homes? Give us to meditate upon this, thy holy word, and draw our hearts unto thyself in mercy. Help us this week. Be with us when we gather with the young people and children in catechism and confession classes. Be with all of us in all the ways of our life, in decisions that are made in this life, in the trials, in families. Wilt thou give a place at thy footstool? Forgive thou our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 53:1-5. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me in the quiet waters by. 1:4-5 of Psalter 53.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.